Okay, welcome back into the PG Pod. Today, Sally and I are just going to have a chat through how to get prepared for your meeting with your university link tutor and how to ensure that you are ready to start the beginning of your assess block. So first of all, Sally, can you...
Good morning. Good afternoon, Mother.
Afternoon. Can you tell me who the ULT is?
Okay, so ULT, University Link Tutors, could be from a whole range of backgrounds. Some of them are tutors who work full-time at the university, academics like you and me, Sarah. Others are people who, associate lecturers who often work part-time. They could be retired head teachers or anybody who's been in education, but they know about primary and early years learning. So yeah, from those two groups really, I'd say, would you?
Yeah, and we meet with the ULTs who aren't part of the academic staff quite regularly, so they understand about
absolutely
your master's module that you're doing and your talk episodes, but predominantly they are going to be interested just in your placement, but they are aware. So where do I look to find out who my ULT is?
Well, the place I would go to, sort of first port of call, is to onto your training development space. If you look on there and you've got a list of contacts, or it might be called participants, it's one or the other, click on that tab, and in there it'll have the name of me or Sarah as the course leader, and also your link tutor name, mentor, etc., etc. So they will be on there. Yep.
And if there's any difficulty finding them too, or that you think the name's not there where it should be, then get in contact with the placement team, because they have a list of where everyone's going to be. It may be, though, that it hasn't yet been confirmed, but it will be shortly.
Or possibly just somebody's not had the availability, and we always, obviously, that's something we make sure. So, but it will be every trainee has a ULT. It's not something that there wouldn't be a gap there, so don't worry if there isn't a name.
Yeah, so what really is their job?
Right, how long have you got? No, I think for me the and as you know, you and I both are link tutors as well as all our other roles in the university. So we are absolutely the advocate, the support person for that trainee on placement who's coming in as a critical friend. And I would emphasise the friend part of it there, to come in and quality assure what's happening in placement in terms of the assessment. So, you know, for example, you know, your link tutor is somebody, if there's a problem and you're busy learning to teach, so your ULT is going to be your another voice actually to go and talk to the mentor. It might be just some little admin thing that's just got turned into quite a large issue, and they will sort it. So they're scaffolding your learning as well, but also coming in and checking that the mentoring is on the same page as Sheffield Hallam expectations, but absolutely to be viewed as a source of support in your process of learning to teach.
Yeah, and the placement is like an assignment, isn't it?
So absolutely.
The link tutor will be seeing lots of students in different schools.
That's true.
They will be making sure that all mentors have the similar expectations of students, and so they understand the grading criteria. All students are accessing the same sorts of support. And so, yeah, I think we've got a different perspective on a placement because we're not quite as close to what's going on in the classroom.
I think that's really true. And often, I mean, occasionally you might have your academic tutor who's also your link tutor. That's very rare. It's something we don't actively avoid it, but it's because we see it, as you said, Sarah, as a separate role and a certain element, I guess, of sort of neutrality there. But occasionally, you know, you might end up in what we call one of my schools or Sarah's schools, and it'll be us again.
And I think that's the thing, is we've got good relationships with certain schools that we visit regularly, which is a benefit. Because it means that communication happens quite naturally. But I know that some students are concerned that they can't talk openly to us because we are friends with mentors or schools. What's your take on that?
My take on that is that I think overall it's definitely a positive that we know the placement that you're going into. We know something about the ethos of the school. That's got to be for the good. for myself, I mean, sometimes, you know, it might be somebody I taught with five, you know, long ago, 10 years ago, and it's genuinely so nice to see them again. And but I kind of think, yeah, that's nothing to, if you're seeing that, it just, it, you know, sort of big welcomes, it doesn't mean at the end of the day that's just a friendship or a professional friendship from the past. At the end of the day, your link tutor is there for you as the trainee teacher at the centre of the experience, and you know, and that's all the training is focused around that. So
we want the very best out of the placement, essentially, don't we? If you do well, we looked fantastic. So everything that we can do to help you will benefit us, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
So do I contact my ULT or do I wait for them to contact me?
No. Please wait for the ULT to contact you. We have put this out in emails, and it's was in the pre-BP1 lecture, but aren't we really aware of how much information you're having to take in and process? So, do wait for their call, or not they put their call, probably their wait for their email. However, you know, if it's getting close to the time of those two dates that we've given for core trainees, so that's, I think we've said the 22nd of October or the 7th of November, you can come into university. If it's getting too close, you've not heard anything, I would drop me or Sarah an email, and we will chase that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in preparation for that meeting, we've got a document that is going to help sort of structure that meeting with your link tutor, so you feel like you can come prepared and you can make the most of that time. So we're just going to talk through this document that you're going to receive shortly. So one of the first things your ULT is likely to ask you is a little bit about your school, and they'll probably ask you questions related to the seven outcomes.
And again, you know, this, as we talked in the previous podcast, this is sort of ongoing learning, kind of research in a way, about kind of what makes your school tick and all the different, you know, different areas of learning and policy, etc. within the school. You know, don't for a minute think that this is some sort of, you know, a test that you have to get through. It's not sort of, you know, they're not quizzing you. This is very much a professional discussion about what you've learned so far. I mean, we suggest, don't we, that you either fill in the grid in the expectations booklet or you bring notes, whether they're on a piece of paper or the screen, doesn't matter. And, you know, literally, you know, have a talk about it. And the chances are, I mean, you've only got 20 minutes, but that will lead into other conversations that are all sort of part of your learning.
Yeah, so first thing is be prepared with a response seven outcomes. Second really easy thing you need to do is make sure that you have discussed the statement of professionalism that's on TDS, and just tick that box with your mentor. And then you need to make sure that you've started to flesh out some quite specific targets for you and this placement. And you need to either print those out or bring a laptop or a tablet so you can show your targets to your ULT.
And it's probably worth mentioning, which we may have done, but let's just to say, be explicit, that actually one of the other participants, if you like, in your training, your link tutor, also has sight of your training development space. So if I'm your academic tutor, I can see it, Sarah can see her group. As course leaders, we see all our students as well. And as a link tutor, you rightly so, you can see, that's the whole purpose of it. So you kind of, without actually being there in person, you can see how things are going.
Yeah. The other thing is your ULT will ask you if you've chosen your three focus children. And if you've got any difficulty selecting them, then that's something that you can discuss. But if you have, then you don't need to go into great detail, but they'll just be checking that you've got those things in place.
I'm just tracking back slightly here, so I'm thinking about, we're saying university link tutor. Do you want to say a little bit about how the conversation works for students on the school direct route? Because they're not meeting their link tutor for the first conversation, are they?
No, they're not. If you're a school direct student, this conversation will be one that you have with your LITEC. Sorry, I should have said that at the beginning. So when you meet with your LIHTC before your assess block starts, they will ask you these same sorts of questions. And these questions are all based around your preparation. So whether you're school direct, you're a PE specialist, you're a core student, they're all the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And maybe something else we should add, though. Again, on school direct, as you'll be aware, people belong to different school direct clusters. And depending on the arrangement that cluster has with the university, you may or may not have a link tutor come and visit you in the section in this first block. Most students do, and they will come halfway through your assess block. If you're a core student, everybody will have a visit, quality assurance visit is what we call it, to come and visit you halfway through. But we'll return. We'll just maybe discuss that in a future podcast anyway, shall we?
So next things on the list is that your LIHTC or your ULT might inquire about whether you've recorded your three talk episodes. That's just to make sure that there are no problems with you being able to facilitate that. It's, you know, whether you've got through them or not is not a problem. It's just making sure
absolutely
you're getting those opportunities. So next thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then... we're having one of the questions, and this is, we're coming into, if you like, more sort of practical, logistical things now, is your ULT want to know whether you have a copy of the timetable for your first week of the block, week one of the 6 week block. So, and that's just for them also. Again, this is all supportive, and it may not, if you don't, it's not necessarily, that might be something conversations need to have that the link tutor will then have with your, or your LIHTC will then have with the school, and that's just to see, you know, what kind of percentages of teaching you've got in that first week that you are responsible for, and a bit about the spread of curriculum as well, would you say? There's no right or wrong, but we're just keen to have a look and see what those timings look like.
Yeah, and I think with School Direct, it's making sure that it's not too much too soon,
because you've
been in school for a while. I think for core as well, it's just making sure that you know exactly what's happening in the next week and you've got time to prepare.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know, don't we, and that trainees say this to us time and time again, that timetables, they do help, you know, they help you make you feel more secure, don't they? That sense of knowing what's coming up, the sense of, oh, I don't know what's going to happen next, is really destabilising. So it's important to have it so you can, you know, plan your week.
Yeah.
After that, we'll also check, you know, has a weekly meeting time been arranged between you as the student teacher and your mentor, because once you go on to the assess block, the 6 weeks, every trainee teacher is entitled to that weekly meeting, co-reflection with your mentor to look how the week's gone, to receive some feedback and to discuss next steps and set targets. So you may have done that already, but occasionally here's your ULT can be a real advocate for you and just have a quiet word and say, can we make sure that there's time in the week for that to happen?
Okay. Yeah. I think in the weeks leading up to the start of the 6 week block, those meetings are often quite informal.
True.
And it's just in passing and feedback. Mm-hmm. But it's making sure when you're assessed block, you do have that protected time to discuss how your lesson went, talk through your lesson observation, review your targets, establish what you're planning in the next week. And, you know, those are really important conversations.
It's quality time, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you don't want to be squashing between lessons or as someone's going out the door. Mm. And I think if that time is established, then you don't feel so much like you're pulling on your mentor's time.
Exactly. And I think it's, you know, it's important to know that this is an expectation when schools sign up to take a student. We don't force students on any schools, you know, but they realise that time must be given, and that's part of the funding to support placement. Means that teachers mentors can be released to have this important professional dialogue with you. So you're not being pushy or asking too much. It is, if you like, your right to have that to support your training.
And the last box on this form covers things sort of to do with professionalism. And I think these are really important because there have been a number of times when mentors have said to me, the trainee keeps rolling into school at 8:30 and really they should be here by 8:00. And I'll say, have you had that conversation? And they'll say no. And I'll think, right, there's a bit of an issue there. So so we've just jotted down a few things that are just really important that you establish because, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you ask. So it includes things like making sure you confirm arrival times. If you've got childcare commitments or part-time jobs, that people understand that there are days when, you know, you might be arriving later or having to leave earlier and the reasons for that. And the more you get out before your assess block starts, I think the easier it is.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's just, it's a message, I hope, that's been coming through sort of loud and clear from the beginning of the course that you know, that talking, that dialogue and sort of transparency on all sides, you know, is just so important. And that's always, that's the foundation of all good relationships, isn't it? And it's just as applicable to this professional relationship in school. Things we, you know, attendance at staff meetings, you know, we just check out what's, and it's good to go to staff meetings if you can. That's all teacher standard 8, you know, that's all part of your professional learning. But on occasion, the school may say no, you don't have to, or we don't need you there, so you use the time in another way. And just dates when the trainee may not be in school, for example, graduation.
Yeah.
Of course you can go to graduation.
Absolutely.
But let them know.
Yeah. A late start for celebration the day after usually doesn't go down well, so I wouldn't suggest asking that, although people do.
Yeah.
But yeah, just let... have really open discussions about those things just to avoid any unnecessary awkwardness.
Absolutely.
And okay, any final thoughts about preparing then for both your ULT meeting and the start of your assess block?
I just generally, I think that in a way it is around the preparation. So just have a look, you know, have a look on your calendar and start to think a bit about kind of time management, really. Oh, I'm going to get that done then, and maybe a bit of a checklist, because there's quite a few things. It's all doable, but a few factors that need to come together so that you're as ready as you can be to begin. And, you know, you can be ready, and then such is the nature of training to teach, that things will, you know, come along and that'll spoil the plan. But that's part of the process and nothing to worry about. But just to be as ready and... Sarah just said those last few bullet points, knowing where you stand on almost like sort of procedures in school is really important. What about you? Anything?
Yeah, and I think if you are sharing mobile numbers with your mentor, I would always say, you know, it's great to be able to message you, but establish when it's okay and when it's not, like, so that you know if you're on Sunday night, you're planning a lesson, all of a sudden you've got stuck. Is that an appropriate time to teach your mentor or not?
It's about respecting other people's family time or personal time, isn't it? Personal space, just as you'd want them to do the same for yourself. And I think that's important for all our well-being.
Yeah. And as soon as you know that your mentor is a person that works on a Friday night or they work on a Sunday afternoon. At least when you know that, it's easier to work around things.
Yeah, I mean, just one final thing from me, that the form that we're looking at the moment, we'll make it available to trainees. You don't actually have to do anything with it. It's more so that you know what's going to be discussed, which is all the things we've talked about just now.
Great. Well, good luck. And we'll see you in a lecture soon.
Yeah. Bye.